Welcome to CPAC Unleashed. I'm one of your hosts, Tanya.
I'm Nicole. Welcome to your weekly dose of candid discussion in the pursuit of finding your tribe in this journey of womanhood, motherhood, and sisterhood.
I'm Ashley. Join us as we leave no stone unturned. In each episode, we have heart-to-heart conversations that aim to challenge and empower one another.
I'm Jenny. No more waiting. CPAC Unleashed begins now. In this episode, generation gaps, how we parent differently than our parents.
All right. So in this episode, we have a divided house on generational parents.
Mm-hmm. My parents were baby boomers. Those are the ones generally born in the 40s to the 60s.
And that's Jenny.
Yep. Jenny and Tanya as well.
Yes. My parents were born 49 and 50.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My parents are Gen X-ish and Nicole's yours too.
Gen X, yeah. Born in the 60s to 80s.
Yep.
So we were raised by sort of different parent styles here.
Yeah. So stereotypically, baby boomers often were a bit more traditional, probably authoritative. There's a lot of discipline and structure and often had a stay-at-home parent, typically the mother. And I would say all of that is true for my experience. How about you, Tanya?
Yeah. So my parents moved up when IBM was built. And so my dad worked full-time at IBM, and my mom stayed home for most of my childhood. But I will say, I guess when I was in middle school, maybe, my mom actually did go back to work part-time. She was an architect, and she started working part-time out of the home. And that was a very big shift for our family because I have two older siblings, and it was always my mom was there running the household, getting us all to school, like all the things. Mm-hmm. And so then we had a little bit of two parents working. So I can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, my dad was definitely the primary breadwinner. He's an engineer and a leader in a lot of international companies. And my mom was the stay-at-home parent. She dabbled a little bit when I was in middle and high school, mostly for the discount. Like she worked at Talbot's because she wanted the discount.
Sure.
She worked. And I don't blame her. Like that worked and she had some fun money to spend. But I would say like generally that she wasn't doing that to keep the household running. She was doing that probably for her own mental health.
Interesting. I want to just point out like how it was totally feasible back then
also
to have a one income household and still survive. Mm-hmm. Right.
Very different.
Very different. And we also, I mean, they grew up in a time before the internet, before smartphones. I remember my dad did get a car phone and that was a big deal.
Oh my gosh.
And we had, you know, the one phone in the house, the long cord. And ultimately they were early adopters and we got more technology through my life. But I think it definitely influenced their approach to screen time and technology for their kids and for my kids today.
Yeah. So the research that we were looking at kind of says that the boomer generation, like less technology in the household and that kind of thing. That was not my experience given my dad's field, right? Like he was a computer engineer, like worked at IBM. So he would bring different things home all the time. So we were, you know, very early to have the internet. I still remember our first car phone was literally like a little suitcase.
Yep.
Yeah. With the little flip lid that you had to. Oh, man. It was massive. But I still remember having that car phone and what a big deal it was. Mm-hmm. Right. Because he had three kids and, you know, two that were driving. And so I remember that for sure. So that's a little bit different, but definitely, you know, fairly firm on respect in the household. And we, you know, pulled our weight with chores and, you know, respecting our parents and all of that very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a lot of talking about feelings and there wasn't a lot of talking about experiences. Like the teacher was the authority, you know, the coach was the authority. Like, I think it's not just they were, you know, trust and obey your parents, but also like other elders in our community.
I think that's so interesting because Ashley and I had the Gen X parents. Mm-hmm. And so those were typically two parent working income households, yep. You know, balancing career and family. We were the generation of like latchkey kids where like
running out and about.
Yeah.
Like when the lights come on.
No one was home when we got home from school. We would unlock our doors, go in. You'd have to have our chores done before our parents got home from school and your homework done and like dinner started and like getting things done. And it was very,
very on your own, very independent.
Very independent. And my family was even more different, which is when I think about it and say it, it like makes me go, oh, I wonder why I'm where I am. Where my mom and dad owned a company together, but my mom was the president of the company and my dad worked for her.
Ooh.
And
modern.
Yeah, it was very different than most of my friends' families. You know, my dad was the one that got up with us in the morning for school, made our breakfast, packed our lunch. We called him Daddy Crocker, like did most of that sort of thing. Whereas my mom was the main breadwinner, the like one who started the business and kind of like led it and had the whole thing about it.
That's so interesting. My parents were pretty equal earners like throughout their careers. I think they like bounced back and forth who was making more. But I do remember when I was filling out the FAFSA for college and I got to like really look at their taxes for the first time in depth. I'm like, go mom. Like, it was really cool to see that they were, you know, like keeping pace with each other. But at home, my mom took on a lot more of the traditional stuff where my father didn't. So he pitched in sometimes, but in the way that it's like helping and wasn't really his thing to do. So that was really interesting. And that definitely influenced how I showed up as a wife initially, thinking I had to work and run a home at the same time. And that's two whole ass jobs.
That's like three jobs.
It really is. Can't do it all. So
it's interesting because I feel like I experienced a little bit of both of those worlds, right? Like, my dad had that like quintessential IBM corporate job. Like, I still remember him leaving the house every day in a button-down shirt and a tie and the pocket protector, like all the things.
Did he have a suitcase? Briefcase? Yes, the briefcase. That's what I meant.
The briefcase was so cool to me. Like, you didn't know what secrets laid in that briefcase, right?
Side note, he was a computer engineer, right? Uh-huh. Your dad
was an engineer.
What kind of
engineer? A chemical engineer.
Okay, and my father's a computer engineer, too.
Okay.
So very interesting.
So, like, I have that frame of reference, right, of, like, growing up when I was, I guess, very young. And then I became a latchkey kid. When my mom went to work, right, when I was in middle school, I think I was in middle school, let me just preface this whole episode with my memory is real fluid. I had two older siblings, like I said, and so we would come home from school, especially once they could drive or when we were old enough for the bus to drop us off, we would let ourselves in the house, right? I still remember getting locked out of the house because my siblings were older than me and they could. But also, we lived out in the boonies, right? 5 acres of woods beyond, probably more than that. And I remember just like dropping my bag and hauling out into the woods to go play. Right. I think about my son doing that now and I'm like, oh, my God, that's crazy.
Because I think the same thing. Like, I was the oldest sibling and I'm pretty sure in elementary school I was walking us.
Yeah.
Home. Like if there wasn't too. There wasn't a like nobody picked us up from the bus stop. Like there wasn't somebody at the bus stop.
I let Ryan walk home. We can get to our parenting styles for sure. But like, it's just interesting hearing you guys talk about that. Like, oh, wait, I did do some of that. Like I got a little bit of that.
So in between.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not have that much independence and responsibility from an early age that I'm hearing you guys describe. Mm-hmm. Like later a little. I was also very young for my grade, but that was not my experience.
Well, you were the youngest sibling also, right? Yeah. Whereas I was the oldest sibling. So like as an older sibling, no matter what generation you end up being like the caretaker.
Yeah, parentified for sure.
Yeah, of the group. And I definitely was the one who was in charge of my siblings.
I remember being very indignant about that because my grandmother lived with us. I'm like, why do I have to look after my sister? Mm. Why doesn't she?
Because grandma's there.
Yeah, but she didn't do those things.
Mm. We're all millennials, right? Born in the 80s.
Mm. I am an elder millennial.
I'm barely.
We're all barely a millennial.
Oh my God.
Sorry. Barely the 80s. You're right.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Okay. Barely a millennial. I'm literally going to die.
Same year as
like when I was graduating high school.
But when you read the research, it seems like millennials as parents are generally associated with being more hands-on. Sometimes referred to as helicopter parenting, just very involved in their children's lives. And that's hard for me to read and reflect, but it's probably true. Like, I feel like I am very hands-on with my children. And
I'd also say, like, it's also a generation of, like, the dads are very hands-on this generation, the millennial parenting, whereas in the previous generations, it was not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is the norm. Right. It's more unnormal if your husband is not as involved in this generation.
Yeah, I agree. Say.
But there's also more of a change in work-life balance. I think millennials are trying to have more flexibility in work and realize that they shouldn't have to run a household and work full-time as their total soul. And there's more equality and balance and more pushback into work-life balance, seeing like having flexible arrangements, having, you know, work from home, something that wasn't really possible in the previous generations.
Can I ask a question or maybe just make an observation that I feel like some of this is within the context of affluence.
Oh, for sure.
So all the things that we're talking about, I also feel like need to be considered within that sphere of when, you know, stable providing jobs are in the picture, there is this opportunity to be more picky about that work-life balance versus like it, that may not apply to all people who happen to be a part of this generation. So I guess I wanted to put that out there.
That's even really fair.
When thinking about when you guys were talking about how you had more access to technology, we didn't have a computer until I was in high school. We didn't have the like funds. I did not grow up socially, economically advanced. Like we were probably in the much lower income bracket. And so even though my parents were Gen X, our technology was not of.
It wasn't like at home yet.
Yeah. I didn't have a bunch of engineer parents.
We had a trailer in the keys.
Yeah. We had a trailer in the keys. Like it was much different.
Yeah. That's a good call.
So I think it's important to think about that across the economics.
Yeah.
And I'd say for us, we are all very lucky to have good economic placement and be able to be where we are and have the privileges of being able to say like, yes, we can do work-life balance because
I mean, that's how I'm able to, I'm kind of a stay at home. I mean, I work odd jobs, right? But I do not have to work a full-time 9-to-5 job in order for us to live the lifestyle that we choose. So it's very much a place of privilege.
Yeah.
And I recognize that.
And the other thing is, for as millennial parents, we have more access to information online, right? We have more ability to like Google something right away.
Or
listen to a podcast.
Which can be really helpful, but also really overwhelming.
Yeah.
When you get everyone's point of view online and all the articles about this one thing for your child.
It's kind of like the pendulum swung a little too far the other way. Now everyone has an opinion on the internet. So that's kind of hard to like
us.
Right. I mean, ours is wonderful, but somehow you have to like find like a consensus in all of those opinions.
You guys, like I think about me growing up, right, having to create reports. I still remember a report that I had to make in third grade, and it was all about Hawaii. Right. I had to literally go to my wall of Britannica encyclopedias in my parents' house. We had to find the segment of those books that had to pertain to the different parts of the islands of Hawaii. We had to go to the library and scan them and have them printed at the library. And they were the most horrific black and white, like blown out scans you've ever seen. And I had to cut them all out and color over the scans and like glue them into a book for
just
my
to get a
presentation.
On, like your poster board.
Just to get a picture in this book that I made about Hawaii. Wow.
I remember
you
all
are
of
an
that.
Elder millennial.
I remember all of that and using the Dewey Decimal System in the library to find things.
To find the Dewey Decimal System was fun. And like the card catalog. Oh, I love that.
I still
have my encyclopedias, my great books.
Yeah, I'm sure my parents still
all of
have
them
theirs.
In my library.
Don't need them anymore. Like, I think about, right, like Ryan doing, he does little reports. He's in fourth grade now, right? And he's literally creating, you know, Canva presentations of, you know, the things that he's learning about and everything. I'm like, oh my God, it's so different.
You know, when Evan has a question, he just asks Alexa.
Yeah.
He just asks Alexa what the answer is to the question.
We've had to ban Google during homework time. I'm like, for certain things.
Good topic for another day. Technology.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is related, right?
Yeah.
In terms of how we, sorry, I might have segued a little too early, but like it's also in terms of how we, it informs our parenting style, how we grew up, how we choose to parent now. Some of those things we might choose to echo. Some of the things we might choose to flip on its head, right? Certain things that we don't agree with of how we were parented, perhaps we may choose to do differently.
And I'm so grateful that when we were growing up and being parented, we didn't have social media the way we have it now, the way our kids have to deal with that. So that's like a new thing we have to parent through the previous generations haven't had to, right?
I think I was like just coming of age when social media was a
thing. Was in college when Facebook, you had to have a college account.
You had to have an Ivy League account to get a Facebook when it first started.
Mine was not Ivy League.
Well, yeah, because it was
made. I didn't have it either, but I remember wanting it. And I remember being mad that my college wasn't like on the list of approved colleges for the Facebook.
I remember being the Facebook.
The Facebook.
Yeah, I definitely remember that. But I was on MySpace in like
I was middle school.
I loved my MySpace.
Your top five, nine, or whatever it was.
There was this website
I like this
called Hot or Not.
Oh, I know Hot or Not.
Uh-huh. And I met a boyfriend on Hot or Not.
That's
so funny.
Is that Jenny? She's like, I'm not going to say.
We're gonna say it for her. She's
Jenny also met somebody on Hot or Not.
So funny. That website was a whole
conversation
problem. Started like all the ranking nonsense. But anyway, like I was very young as that was happening, and we had like
middle school doing that. Did you say
I got on AOL Instant Messenger in third grade for the first time.
ASL.
Right. Lying about that in chat rooms all the time, every Friday and Saturday night.
Third grade. That's your son's in third grade.
I know. So, and for that reason, it's influenced my parenting a lot. I was in third grade when I was first on AOL Instant Messenger, using the internet independently, and the first time I found online porn.
Oh my goodness!
So I'm like acutely aware that like it's coming.
Yeah.
So I'm preparing myself and arming myself with.
I just put a filter on our entire house internet.
I mean,
recently.
Yeah, I've got all sorts of filters on.
So that brings up interesting, like, what are some of the things that like we struggled with in terms of like how our parents parented versus how we're choosing to parent now, right? Like, I don't think I could let my kid be a, like, and I will say a latchkey kid, but I will say I probably have the most free range chicken kids.
Yeah, they're close to latchkey, but
they're
actually
like this
like
generation
here.
Of latchkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like connected, but they're independent.
Yeah.
Within safe boundaries.
But with a tracker.
So wait, Nicole, explain for our listeners, like, what, how do you approach your children's independence? Like, what's their perimeter that they get? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So we kind of follow Montessori style in our household. It's the kind of school they go to, and it's the parenting style we kind of go against, where we allow our kids freedom with supervision.
Mm-hmm.
So like our kids make their own breakfast in the mornings. They pack their own lunches. They can play with friends on our street. They have boundaries in our neighborhood, but they have a smartwatch that I can call them on or track them on, but are allowed to be out at neighbors' houses without me being there and on our street riding their bikes and other things, which I'm not sure. Like I have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. And I'd say my 5-year-old has a lot more privileges than a typical 5-year-old would because I have an 8-year-old. And my 5-year-old is actually more advanced in some of these things than like my 8-year-old would be. So I'm like sending him to
your
supervise.
Your 5-year-old is pretty mature.
Yeah, he's a pretty mature 5-year-old.
He's very daring.
Yeah, well,
like he doesn't have a lot of inhibitions, right?
No, that's not the best thing.
Yes, but I think that's part
he's
of what.
He's also very capable. He's very athletic.
I think that's part of what gives him the confidence to like run out that front door and be like, see ya, right?
Yeah.
So
he definitely, and he's, we lived on a street in the middle of during COVID where all of our neighbors were kind of our bubble and they went back and forth with playing with friends a ton.
He really grew up that way.
He really grew up that way, like since he was 2. Like we were trying to work full time and I was like, go with your brother to the neighbors. So like,
it sounds like a modern latchkey, but like refined in all
she's
the ways.
Here. Yeah.
I'm here. I'm
it's
tracking.
Reverse latchkey. Get out.
Yeah. Like get out of my house because I'm here and you can't be here at the same time as me.
So
because
true.
He's also very attached. So in order to give him his independence, I have to physically separate myself from
Stop
him.
Stop validating his feelings so much.
I know. It's the worst.
It's funny you see that kind of in the broader family dynamic, because when I think about differences across the generations, like it shows up in those little moments, especially when the kids were younger. Like I remember my family, my parents and my husband's parents, like having reactions to me choosing to nurse versus just feeding formula about baby powder and using it. Or like now we know like it might have been a carcinogen, but like carcinogen, is that the right
carcinogen?
Word? Carcinogen.
Yeah.
Carcinogen. Or like
swaddling.
Swaddling was a big thing. Like how you put them to sleep or even car seats.
Food.
You know, I'm very particular about my car seats even now. And my dad, I mean, he deals with me and he's very respectful, but I know he's chuckling and almost eye rolling. He's like, you should see the car seats when you were, and I'm like, that doesn't mean it was right.
Yeah. We reserve the right to get smarter every generation.
We don't still fly in biplanes either. Like, no.
But sometimes they meaning like our parent generation takes it as like a personal thing.
Yeah.
Just because we do it differently. And it's not, it's just refined.
Yeah. I would say my mom and I struggled with that a lot at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I am surprised at how much she has respected my boundaries and my, like, this is what my rules are for my kid, and has actually followed them way more than I ever thought she would.
Wow. That's good.
Go, mama.
Yeah. Like, but it has been like years of us having these conversations to get there. So it's actually very interesting because she will tell me opinionly she did not like the swaddling. She thinks I'm putting her grandson in a prison, but she still swaddled him. So she'll say her opinion, but still do the thing.
I would totally settle for that.
I asked her to do.
Yeah.
Cole, it's really interesting that you say that because my parents also have been incredibly involved. Like, I feel very fortunate with how involved my parents have chosen to be in my son's life, our son's life, because they didn't have, I think I've mentioned this before, but they didn't have the proximity to be close to their parents when we were growing up. And they really missed that. And so I think they recognized that very early on. And Ryan's the only grandchild. I think he's going to be the only grandchild in our immediate family. And so they were our first childcare. They were there at the hospital, I think. They were there when we got home from the hospital, like so, so involved, but also so respectful. Like, we had so many very candid conversations about what do you need from us? How do you want it to be done? In such a way that, like, I almost felt like it wasn't real sometimes, right? Because I felt so lucky, and I hear people talk about these nightmare situations, right? Of like, they leave their child with their parents for like one night and they disregard every single request that the parent made, right? And my parents just never did that. And I feel very, very lucky, but it's interesting. Like, my dad is super, super hands-on with Ryan. And they're going out and doing all these adventures. And now he's like taking more of a role of cooking, which is very different than how I grew up.
Was your dad hands-on growing up?
So we did adventures. Like, I still remember, because just with his work schedule, he didn't have as much free time, but he prioritized going on trips with us. I still vividly remember that. We would go canoeing all different places. We would go camping. We would go to different places. And they really did actually prioritize making sure that we had time independently with him where it was one-on-one. We had to structure that time with him as well because of the work schedule and that he was the primary breadwinner, right? And so we were a part of the YMCA Dads and Kids program, right? It used to be called the Indian Guides. They've changed it to the Y Guides, thank goodness. But it was that opportunity, right? And it was very much a generational thing where, like, this was the dad's chance or the kid's chance to be with the dad. But we did lots of other things with my dad. But I still remember it was always this, like, adventure that we would go and do. And I see him doing that with my son now, too, which I really love. I love that they get that time together. But he's also just so hands-on, too, both of them, both of my parents.
You know, that's interesting because that's not the, like, I don't have boomer parents, but my husband does. And his father never went on a single vacation they ever went on.
Oh, really?
It was
What do you mean?
He had to work. So they would go on vacation and it would
But he still sent the family away?
Yeah. And his mother and his grandmother would take
really
them
kind.
On vacation, but he never went. Well, you know, I don't know. Is it?
Is
right?
It? I mean,
it is. But
okay, I'm making an assumption here that it's because he had to work, but still wanted his family to have the experience. So while it comes at a cost of not being there for the memories, to prioritize your spouse and kids and still provide for them in a way, like if it was that kind of vibe, I think that's really generous.
And I do believe that's what that generation believes they're doing.
Yeah,
but it has impacted. Like, my husband will not let me take the kids anywhere alone.
Because he doesn't want to do it again.
He doesn't want to miss out. And he doesn't want to miss out. Like, when I even hinted that I was going to take, oh, I just want to do like a mom-son trip here. He's like, I want to go. Why can't I go?
Those are probably a bunch of little T's.
So it's
little
like,
T traumas.
Yeah, little T traumas. So it's like, but that's my experience of like the family dynamic from that boomer generation. Jenny, would you say your dad was super hands-on?
My dad worked a lot and he traveled a lot internationally. And I certainly, you know, have very distinct memories of when we were able to get that quality one-on-one time. But yeah, I think he had to work first. And a lot of times he was not even in the country.
Yeah, that was very much that generation of the one-income household.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And there's definitely an impact on the kids, no matter what parenting style or what generation you're in. But I think, you know, all come, you want to embrace different parenting styles and respect traditions, because at the end of the day, it's what's right for each kid, and each kid needs different, you know, different things.
So very politically correct of you, Jenny.
I think it's true. Even with my own two children, like, I am not the same parent to my second that I was with my first.
Yep.
I think that's accurate no matter what.
So Jenny, would you talk a little bit about, like, kind of your parenting approach with your kids, and maybe if there's a way that that is informed by how you grew, or maybe not?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it much, but I would say that with my son, we really value honesty and communication. And so, you know, there's been a lot of work to build that trust between us so that he can talk to me about things. Often it's at bedtime. We also have a little book now that we write back and forth to each other.
That's so,
I love it. 10 out of 10 recommend it when your kids are old enough to write.
So wait, can you say more about that real quick?
So yeah, I just got a journal, and he's been dealing with some big emotions recently, and I heard it from a friend, and I was like, hey, bud, like, how would you feel about writing in a journal back and forth? Check yes or no. Oh,
that's how you introduced it?
I didn't even ask him. I just wrote it and I put it on his bed.
Oh,
and
he then
he circled back. He circled yes. And that was it. And I was like, okay, he's not quite getting it. And then I was like, okay, I'm really excited. You're excited about this too. You can ask questions and answer them, and I'll do the same, you know, and leave it on my bed or my office desk. I forget what I said. And I was like, what are your top three memories of 2023? Because this is, and he wrote, I don't know. And then I wrote back a little more. So it's taken some prompting, but we're getting there. And he's also asking me questions, and it's been like a fun thing because he, like, you know, he's looking forward to it.
Yeah. I had seen a journal like that. It was like Mom and Me or something, right? Like, it was literally a journal. It was designed for that. And I think there was a Dad and Me version as well. And I had thought about it, but I hadn't pulled the trigger. But it's really fun to hear that, like, you're doing that, and that.
I love that you have to pull it out of him, though.
I think that one has prompts, but ours is just like a plain journal. I mean, selfishly, it's also, he really struggles with his fine motor skills and still sees an occupational therapist for handwriting. And so I've been trying to think about different ways to get him to practice his writing. And so that was like kind of one of my
goals. Feeds into non-screen time activities too.
And being able to communicate. Yeah.
Like, but that's what it gets back to, is that
communicating one's feelings.
I want him to be able to talk to me when things get tough. And we talk a lot about, like, telling the truth even when it's hard. We talk very openly about sex and puberty and all sorts of things that I've purposely done since he was like four. Probably like over... What's the word? Like, over something on that. Over, like...
Overcorrected?
Overcorrecting, maybe a little bit.
Very different generationally, right?
Yeah, but it was certainly a conscious choice. Like, I feel like if it's always part of the conversation whenever it's developmentally appropriate, then, like, it's never taboo for him to talk to me later. And that's, like, what I'm really striving towards.
Did you say that's how you also grew up? Or that's different than how you grew up? And so you're choosing to kind of go the other end of the spectrum of full disclosure?
Yes.
Open table.
Yes.
Well, and I think that's also, the execution has to be right on that. Cause not is it like my parent family was very open. They talked about everything. But when I finally opened and said something, it was not received well.
Yeah.
Ooh, that doesn't work.
Said something about what?
Like sex for the first time or anything. It was not received well. It was very much like, you need to wait until this time and all this. Like, it was very much
so confusing.
Yeah. Right. But it was like, talk to me, but like, don't. Do
but
it.
I'll judge you.
Like, don't do
That's
it.
That's tricky.
And so then it became a like, well, clearly I'm not going to tell you. So like the execution of that also has to be there of like, that's sort of where we've decided that like, no matter what they say, we're going to keep a straight face. There's going to be no judgment. It's going to be straight like, okay.
Answer the question that was asked and only the question that was asked.
There's definitely pros and cons, but I think it all comes back to like the key driver, the value
in our life is like open communication and honesty. And like, so I'm trying to like filter a lot of choices and decisions through like that aim.
Mm-hmm. Ashley, how about you? Like, how, what's your kind of parenting style, strategies? How does it like differ or align with how you grew up?
My parenting style compared to how I grew up is a lot more like, I'm going to be your best friend and like your, but like not in a weird kind of inappropriate way. In like a, I'm your biggest fan.
Okay.
That kind of
Ooh,
way.
I like that mentality.
Where I want to be really involved, but not like in a helicopter going to make your life easier just because kind of way. But like, I think my kids are cool and I like when they do stuff and I want to like be the cheerleader in the stands, you know, for them. And yeah, I'm probably going to embarrass them at some point.
So the making your life easier is a lawnmower parent.
Oh, is it?
Not that helicopter parent.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You think of a lawnmower like a metaphor and you're like right. mowing the grass down.
Oh, so you take all the barriers away.
Right. Yeah, I'm not trying to do that.
Versus a helicopter parent who just like hovers over to like smother them.
Yes. Oh. I don't want to smother and I don't want to be smothered.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I think I do like tend to want to do that, but almost because it's like an overcorrection thing.
Yep.
I want more involvement than what I had as a kid. I want more transparency, more honesty. The honesty thing, Jenny, that you were talking about, that's really big for me too. I was raised being told, if you're ever in trouble, call me. I'll come pick you up. No questions asked. Like,
we was got that you. Executed?
No.
Yeah.
Sorry. But like respectfully, no, yeah. it wasn't. No. And when there were times that I was in trouble and I needed help and asked for it, I was shamed or punished even for getting into that situation. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to ask for help. But like, we tell our kids, like, tell the truth. You may not like it, but we'll respect you for being honest.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that play out already. There was one day that Calvin broke his mirror in his room, like broken glass on carpet, total accident. He was very apprehensive, came downstairs. Mom, I need to tell you something. Like, all right, what's up? I broke my mirror. And like, he was like bracing for something.
Aww.
And the first thing he says, are you hurt? And he was like, what? Like almost confused about it. I'm like, dude, I don't care. Like, we'll clean up the glass. We'll clean up the mirror. I know you didn't mean it, but like, are you okay? I know that's probably scary. Back to the feelings too.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
We just had a really positive moment where I realized like, cool. He came to me. He was nervous, but he came to me and gave me a chance to prove it.
Yeah.
I'm going to show up.
Yes.
So I hope he remembers that too.
I'm sure he will. It's like simple things of remembering, like we do that with spills, like not a big deal, just a spill.
Yep.
Like where I felt like every time we made a mess, like it was overwhelming to my parents.
Was
or
that
like
a generational thing? Because my parents were the same way.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't make a mess while you were living there.
Right.
I fucking live here.
Right. Well, and it was the same thing as like my husband's family when I first met them, they had like plastic on their furniture. And I was like, oh. This is the, like, we're never going to be those people that have
plastic. It feels like my grandparents' generation. The plastic on the furniture, no?
My husband's parents are as old as my grandparents.
Yeah. But, like, my grandparents had the plastic on the furniture.
Maybe it's just carried over.
Interesting. Maybe.
They, like, just held it over.
Maybe that's one of the things like, they brought with them.
Yeah. So, but it's interesting then to see my parents as grandparents, because they are not the same people.
So true.
I don't know who this woman is who is with my children, but she is not the woman who raised me.
I wonder if they're all trying to get a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's interesting because my mom always says, like, you only have kids for grandkids. Because grandkids are the best part of having kids.
Yeah, because there's no responsibility.
Right. That's her whole thing is that, like,
nah.
I get to have all the fun and not be the one who is responsible to making sure you're raised as a good human. I don't have to be the one to discipline you, because my mom was the only disciplinary in our household. My father was like, yeah, you do whatever.
That's like so contrary to how I view parenting. Like, why not have fun and discipline? Like, this
I think
just
she
learning.
Lived in a relationship where that she didn't have the option. There was no balance,
yeah.
Right? Like, my dad was very carefree and like he was always, we always viewed him as the fun parent. And,
oh,
like,
so you mean she was kind of like backed into being structured,
yeah,
and
she
authoritarian
was backed into being
in a way.
Into that situation, yeah. With four kids. And but like as a grandparent, she gets to enjoy all the fun things without yelling at them.
That's so, I always attributed that dynamic, that almost stereotype to like, because it was the stay at home mom, like she's stuck at home. I'm going to use very, very polarizing language.
Yeah.
Stuck at home all day with the kids, has to deal with them, has to discipline, has to structure, has to monitor. And so like, there's no time or energy for the fun. And then dad got to come home with all the energy that like didn't get to dispel at the workplace, and then gets to like hang out with the kids and have fun for a few hours before bedtime kind of thing, right? That's a very, very polarizing like stereotype, right? But I also see some of that, right? Like for whatever parent is home, if there is a parent that is home more than another, there is a lower bandwidth, right? And so I get that. And so I guess from your comment, like I understand why like suddenly she's like, oh, now I get to be fun.
Right.
Like I can get that. Yeah, I can understand. I see it.
It's just very interesting to like.
I'm sure it's very bizarre for you, right? Like,
who are you? Show them who you really are. This is not who you are.
She could be both.
Mm-hmm. I will say yes. My mom has changed a lot in terms of like the world she was like thinking about it. Like she ran a business with four kids, a lot of stress, and
sounds familiar.
And then has now like doesn't have that sort of pressure, right? Mm-hmm. All our kids are grown. She doesn't have anybody to worry about but herself. Like, it's a very different mental load.
Yeah. And then for you, like, your current situation echoes some of that, but then also not, right? Like,
yeah,
you are running businesses, you are also working a full-time job, and you do the damn thing career-wise. But I see you making those very conscious efforts to go out with your children, to go have those adventures, to go have that special time with your kids as well, right? Like it doesn't have to be that one or the other.
Yeah, but I agree. That has a lot to do with the fact that my husband and I are 50-50 partners.
Yeah.
And I have
you have the bandwidth
support system in that it is not my sole responsibility for the mental load of our household, the bandwidth of our stuff.
Like, do you ever feel like you're the fun parent?
Oh, yeah, a lot of the time.
Okay.
Yeah, I take us on, my kids always look at us like, oh, we're going on one of mom's adventures again.
Well, sometimes your adventures are going to a rental property to assemble furniture.
Yes.
So.
But my husband is definitely more lenient.
Okay.
On the like rules and structure than I am. So we have a really interesting, unique balance. But I think that attributes to like the fact that I don't know if our parents' generation had that same partnership mentality that our generation now has.
Mm-hmm.
I think our Gen X parents were like transitioning that. Like I remember my parents having not 50-50 responsibility in the household and the child raising, but 50-50 in the business of life.
Yeah, and that's what my parents did too, but then it was still like the responsibility, mental load set on the woman. Yeah, it was
totally
still
unbalanced. Yep. How'd they do it?
No, this is why they were angry. This is why they were angry.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to do all of it.
And that was very much the Gen X, right? You can have it all. And then I think our generation was like,
time out. We really can.
Time out. Stop that. Nobody wants that. We want some of each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think about our strategy for parenting, right? My husband and I, we very much come together, right? In terms of parental decisions, even in terms of like disciplining, like we will talk about that before anything is executed, right? Which I very much appreciate. I like to not have to be the only one who is the heavy. And I like for him to not have to be the only one, right? Yeah. But it's also nice when we can back each other up for it too, you know, and we both get our opportunities to go and have quality time with him. Again, it helps to have only one. We get to tag team. So there's that element as well. And then we've been trying to lean more into the independence, right? So my son just turned 9. And for Christmas, he got one of the watches that has the phone capability so he can call us. My hope is that he can start to like walk down to his friend's house in our neighborhood, which is like a half mile away, right? And for me, that's a little bit more scary than like putting him on the bus. He walks himself home from the bus. Like we don't pick him up at the bus stop anymore, which was a little sad, like to not pick him up at the bus stop anymore. I really enjoyed that. But I also really enjoy seeing him grow in his independence because he very much is a kid who doesn't always love to be independent. He likes to have things done for him. He likes to have things made easy for him. So that's honestly our current struggle is
so
getting
you're
him
the lawnmower
more.
Parent.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yes. Because sometimes making the way clearer for him is also making the way clearer for myself.
It comes from a good
and
place.
That has is how we've kind of gotten, I think, to where we are now. Like, we still cater to a stupid myriad of dietary requirements and requests from him that we are working on. But I mean, every parent's working on lots of things, right? And that is one of ours. And it's a big pain point. And we have progressively gotten less and less accommodating. We still got a long way to go. But like, I want to be there. I want to be helping him to be more independent, helping him to be more confident in those things.
Would you say your parents like were lawnmower-ish parents, like led the way barriers for you?
Oh, I don't know. That's such a good question. Like, I definitely remember our kind of like latchkey phase of being home, and we would have certain chores that we needed to have done, and then homework and that kind of thing. But I was very, I was a student. I was like a student of life, right? Like, I could do homework, I could do school, I could get good grades, and I could usually do it without too much effort. And so then, like, the rest of my time was like playing out around in the woods. And then we would be home and we would be sitting there for an hour and a half trying to crack the parental code that they put on our TV. Like, we would spend an hour and a half trying to crack the code of the TV.
We didn't have codes.
Just to get on. Yeah.
We didn't have codes.
I think that was when maybe we weren't doing our chores that we were supposed to be doing and the parental codes came in.
Daughter of a computer engineer over there.
That's wild. Like, we didn't have
codes. I don't think codes existed in my house.
No, I was
either.
A spy at heart. Like, I just wanted to figure it out.
I'm just impressed your dad had a code that worked on the computer at that
very
time.
Very tech savvy. Yeah. Right? Like, that was, I mean, I think that was a byproduct of his own career, his own interests. Technology was an early thing. However, we only ever had like one gaming system ever. We had a Sega Genesis and that was it. Like, we never got the Nintendo. I always had to play that at my friends' houses and all of that. But like, computers and TVs were always a part of our household.
Yep.
So interesting. Our signal was my parents owned their own company and they worked like in front of our neighborhood in the plaza. And they would forward the phone to our house, their work phone to the house. And when it would ring once. And then not ring at all. And that was the signal that the phone had just been forwarded. And we had about 10 minutes tops to get everything done you were supposed to be doing in the time from home to the parents at home from the time that phone signal ran, and like would scramble like little rats like to
amazing.
Get everything done.
I and definitely did that too.
Amount of time, because it was like the bat signal, like they're coming.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
I would hear the garage door and I'm like, it's time. I
that
can
gives
look
you
like
no
I'm doing,
time.
I know, but it was enough to look like I was doing homework.
Uh-huh. And oh, yeah.
Yeah. So now when my children did
soap operas?
Oh, yeah.
My mom did.
I still remember getting home to watch General Hospital.
Days of Our Lives.
Days of Our Lives.
12.
And I'm like, oh,
my mom would record them, like tape them. And I'd just be watching the tapes of Days of Our Lives.
Stefano.
Oh, my God. So funny.
I was never home early enough from school.
My mom would tape it.
Oh, right. Because you could like VHS record.
Yeah, it was VHS recording.
My mom recorded VHS like movies. The Mannequin was one of my favorites.
Oh, I still remember that movie.
It was a good one.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm. So, Jenny, your parents live close and they're around with your kids.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us about how that you see them as grandparents versus parents?
Yeah. So they live a little more than 30 minutes away and we generally go see them once a week or so. And my dad is retired now, but even recently was working from home. So that was different, right? He's not physically traveling. And it's fun to watch them interact. He's almost like their own personal encyclopedia. They're like, Papa, tell us this. He's their Alexa. They haven't really discovered Alexa. So they're like, that's a Papa question. So they like go to him in that way, which I really enjoy.
I love that.
And they have a lot of land. So they'll look at the birds together or go on walks, find eagles' nests. So it's really cool to see that side of him with the kiddos.
I think it's fun to see our parents as grandparents and just see like a different perspective of them versus like the parental figure of like doing things. Mm-hmm. Like they feel more free as grandparents. Okay, so wrapping this up, basically we have such different generations of parents, but we've been able to find compromises along the way with open communication. I think that that's been really good. And even if my parents were different people now, they seem to be different people with my kids. And we can enjoy
that. Embracing that.
Embrace that.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's okay to evolve. It's okay to change and to grow, no matter what age you're at.
All right, ladies, that wraps up this week's episode of She Pack Unleashed. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Hope you enjoyed maybe thinking about how you grew up with your own parents. And we would love to hear your stories too.
And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss out on our future adventures. And if you want to stay connected, share your thoughts, you can find us on social media at She Pack Unleashed.
Thank you for being a part of our pack.
This is Ashley, Jenny, Nicole, and Tanya signing off. Stay wild and fierce.